TSN 1050 is delivering backpacks filled with school supplies and supporting local families during these difficult times. It's all part of the Back to School Backpacks event happening August 24th. This year's event is presented by Vanilla Prepaid, available for purchase at Petro-Canada. Together in partnership with the Children's Breakfast Club's 1,010 young students will receive the tools they need to succeed before the school bell rings in September. For all the details, head to tsn1050.ca. We bring on Michael DeStefano, a.k.a. Al's brother. And Michael, I need you to help us out here. Do we owe Carlo Koliakovo an apology? I'll explain, but first, good morning and thanks for joining First Up.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, and I am excited to hear what this could possibly be about. So
okay.
Let's
so
get to it.
We were talking before about places we would like, dream places we would like to do the show from. And we were getting people to text in at 10:50:50. And by the way, you can still do it. A lot of great stuff is coming on from people. And one person said a gondola in Venice. Now, Michael, when I say a gondola in Venice, what do you think?
Like one of those little boat things in the river?
Yes,
like in
correct.
The Venice canals?
Yes, in the Venice canals. So, Carlo's like, nah, I don't like it. I don't like heights. So we all started laughing at him, making fun of him, being bad teammates around here. Someone texted in, Carlo, okay, you dipsticks, there's also a gondola that takes you to the top of the mountain in Banff.
Thank you. That's what I thought a gondola was.
Also called the gondola.
That's true.
So Carlo is correct. A gondola is also something that takes you up into the air.
Right. That's what I thought it was.
However,
yeah, but if we're talking about the Venice canals, Carlo, just based on that, you probably should have put two and two together that that's not the type of gondola that we were talking about.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right.
Fair.
No,
but
apology.
I've
no
never been to Venice. I've never been to Venice. And
you're Italian.
Yeah, I'm Italian. I've never been to Venice. Have you been to Venice, AB?
I haven't been to Venice either.
Okay, he's Italian.
Like 3 weeks ago, but I was not there.
I'm Italian. I've been to Venice, and I've been on the gondolas. Final ruling, we're not giving you an apology, Carlo.
You're such a jerk.
I know.
I think it's fair. I think you should have known based on what you were talking about, that
I lived in Germany for 2 years. I lived in Germany 2 years. I made many trips to Switzerland. Switzerland, the ski hills, it's called the gondola. That's what I always thought it was. But hey, fine. Let's meet in the middle here. I was, I don't know, what's the right word here?
Slightly incorrect. Understandably incorrect. How about
there
that?
There you go. There you go. Okay, well, while we're on this topic, Matthew, let's ask AB. He's the host of Least Lunch.
Where would he like to do the show?
That will be making its return in September. If you had a chance to do a live remote anywhere in the city or the world, where would your dream spot to do it?
Oh, man, it's such a difficult question, and you're putting me on the spot.
Okay, hold on. As you're thinking about it, I will read. Someone texted in, I'll donate my boat so you guys can broadcast from the Toronto Harbor as long as cause doesn't get me kicked out of the marina for yelling. Well, I got to tell you right now, I might get you kicked out because from time to time I do yell.
Well, let's give AB a couple options. We did our first three options. We're going to continue this conversation in the 9:15 segment. I picked college campus, poolside at a resort, and on a dock fishing.
My favorite one, a Mardi Gras parade on a float.
Yes.
Or maybe at Canton, Ohio during the Hall of Fame induction.
That would also be really, really good. So I was thinking, because you guys were talking about Venice Canal, so in my head I'm thinking, okay, where in the world would I want to get a free trip paid through work? So I was thinking maybe somewhere along the Amalfi Coast.
Ooh,
get a nice
good.
Little work trip to the Amalfi Coast, potentially.
Mm-hmm. But what's the service like over there? We get a good service over there in the Amalfi Coast?
I'll have to pay for it, but it's not going to be on my dime. So
it's going to be on Bell's dime. Wait a minute. I think I got it. Because, again, Michael DiStefano, Al's brother, host on Leafs Lunch. Leafs Lunch, hockey show. How about from Bob McKenzie's doc? Bob McKenzie's doc. He can come and wander over in his flip-flops and golf
bring us
shirt,
some morning margaritas, some charcuterie boards.
Yes. How about that?
Hey,
that's the answer. That's the only answer, actually.
There it is.
All right. Well, I've given the answer for you. All right. We're going to spin the wheel of topics with you. By the way, I just heard it's Bob McKenzie's birthday. Happy birthday, Bob.
Shout out, Bob Father.
And your birthday gift is you get to hang out with Jeff O'Neill on it with a sheet of ice behind you in Edmonton instead of being at a cottage. That sounds delightful. I went 3 for 3 yesterday with my bets there, Al's brother, and it was mostly because I didn't understand why the Blue Jays are still such heavy favorites. I said, take Baltimore. I love the over of 9 runs because of Kikuchi and Bichette to get a hit because he did the day off before. But I don't know how closely you're watching it there, Al, but the
Al.
But we don't have time. I got to go quick here. The Jays being such heavy favorites, game in and game out, kind of reminds me of how the Maple Leafs are like the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup. When it comes to all things Toronto, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, the Stanley Cup thing's just silly. That's just based on fanfare. I mean, the Jays, look, they should beat the Orioles. Like, that team on paper should beat the Orioles. Now, you say Kikuchi being the pitcher last night, you kind of went into it with a sour taste in your mouth if you're trying to ride with the Blue Jays. So I was with you, Kaz. I thought the plus money on Baltimore was the play there. The over was certainly the play there. The two starting pitchers combined had an ERA over 11, so I thought for sure that we were going to see fireworks from both sides. Clearly, it didn't really come from Toronto as much as I thought it was, but, you know, Kikuchi, man, that guy just loves feeding meatballs to Ryan Mountcastle. Didn't he take him deep twice in the last game that they played each other, and then he went ahead and took him deep again last night? This guy, I'm not sure what the Blue Jays are going to do with him, but I thought personally they should have skipped his start. I mean, they definitely could have last night. They had a rain delay, which pushed starts back, and then they also had the scheduled day off, which pushed starts back again. So they had 2 days which were pushed back. They easily could have skipped his start and went straight to whether Manoah or whoever you want to go to after that, maybe Mitch White, whoever. I'm just really not sure what we're going to see out of this guy going forward, or if we will see him, considering Ross Stripling's now coming back into the fold later this week.
Do you believe that the Blue Jays are contenders when it comes to playoffs? I mean, this is a team that can't even beat the Baltimore Orioles right now.
Yeah, it's like right now it's tough to think, isn't it? Like, just the way that they're just not hitting the baseball. They're not getting the starting pitching from anyone right now. This go through the rotation was horrible, horrible. I think their ERA through the last 9 games through their starters is like 7.5 or something like that. Even Gausman gave up 5 runs in his start on Sunday. Manoah hasn't looked as sharp as typical. Barrios is a battering ram, even in his home start. And then obviously Kikuchi Pupupi is what I like to call him because he's doo-dooing in his pants every time he's out on the mound. Nice. It doesn't inspire you if you are a Jays fan, for sure, the performance that they've been putting on of late on the mound. I mean, but the bats aren't really coming around either. I mean, this has been an issue all season. Runners in scoring position, they just can't seem to cash guys in once they get in scoring position. They haven't been clutch enough like you would expect for them to be, and that's been a massive, massive issue with this team and why they haven't been able to get as many wins as they should have. When you look at this team on paper, yeah, this should be a playoff team. They've got a vaunted lineup, you know, 1 through 9 sometimes, especially when everybody's hot and everyone's rolling. But right now, when it's not going well, it starts to spiral, and it seems like it's going from start to start, game to game. No one has much confidence in this team right now, and that includes fans don't have much confidence in this team. But do I think that they are a playoff team? I still believe that they'll figure it out. They'll limp into the playoffs, and hopefully a fresh start. You know what they say, all you got to do is get to the dance, right? You get in there, hopefully you can get 1 or 2 good outings out of this staff and end up making a run of some kind. So I'll say yes, I still believe in them as a playoff team, but it's not overly inspiring the type of baseball they're playing right now.
It's a very underwhelming choice right now. Well, let's go to Al's brother's school of degeneracy, because let's talk some gambling over here. If you had to make a bet right now on the NFL and the NFL MVP, who are you choosing?
So NFL MVP is an interesting one, because I mean, I know you want me to say
I don't want you to say anything. I just want you to. I want to know if you agree with what everybody else thinks, that Josh Allen should be the favorite right now. And if you go to FanDuel, they've got a boost for him. He was plus 700. He's plus 1,000 right now to win NFL MVP.
Yeah, and I put some money down on that yesterday when I did see that boost come out on FanDuel, because that brings him from the favorite to like fourth, fifth odds, shortest odds to do it. And that's where I think there is value. So if you are wagering, you think Josh Allen, who I think deservedly so is the front runner right now, the favorite heading into the season to be MVP, getting those odds going from plus 700 up to 10 to 1, you know, now you're in that category, you're in that range of like an Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott. You're just getting good value at that point. So for sure, if you're talking about placing a wager, I think that is definitely one that is worthwhile doing. But I think, you know, when it comes to the favorites, it's not always fun to talk about the favorites winning it. But I think
I hate that he's the favorite. I'll be honest with you. I hate that he's the favorite, because I believe he's got a good chance to win it. But
yeah,
you know what happens in a gambling world when the public is too one-sided. It's very rare that ends up coming in.
It's true. But the fact that he hasn't won before shouldn't stop him from winning it. Although he's the favorite, he hasn't done it before, right? So there's no voter fatigue, I suppose, when it comes to betting for it. And I would hope that being the odds-on favorite going into the season wouldn't also stop him from winning an MVP if he's deserving. But, I mean, there's a couple of guys out here that I think are also deserving and some decent money. Like Justin Herbert, I think, can also go out there and have himself a hell of a season. I'm bigger on the Chargers winning that division. It's going to be a tough division, the AFC West, but I'm big on the Chargers winning that one over the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, if he does that and he's able to go out there, beat Mahomes, win that division at plus 900, that's not a bad bet also for Justin Herbert. You know, what if Lamar Jackson has a resurgence this year at 20 to 1? Some pretty good odds. But one that's really interesting that, you know, I talked a little bit about on gameplay yesterday, Trey Lance at 40 to 1, I think is worth a little
MVP?
Bit of a sprinkle. A sprinkle. It's
Come
worth a
on.
Sprinkle.
Get it out is. Of here, man.
Just a little bit of a sprinkle, because, look, Trey Lance, he hasn't played a lot of football in the last, like, 3 years. But when he does play, he's been exceptional, Carlo. An exceptional quarterback. And I know he only played one quarter, and I know it's only preseason football, but he looked really good against the Packers Friday night. Really good. What do you go? 4 for 5, 92 yards, threw a dime of a touchdown, and also had a rush for 7 yards. Like, this is a guy who has both the legs and the arm to be an exceptional quarterback. And I was listening to Lewis Riddick on ESPN yesterday saying how he believes Trey Lance could take this league by storm in a way we hadn't seen since Patrick Mahomes did it in his sophomore season when he went on to have an amazing year. So I think Trey Lance at 40 to 1, they're good odds. I don't know if he could win it, but I think it's possible. Worth a sprinkle at 40 to 1 odds.
All right. Well, you said you like the Chargers to win the AFC West. 20 fingers, hit that button.
Wager! Okay.
Me versus you. I'm taking the Vegas Raiders and you take the Chargers. Are you in?
Sure. So if the Chiefs win, is it just Chargers or Raiders?
Whoever wins the division. I'm taking the Raiders, you're taking the Chargers.
Okay, let's
and
do
if
it.
If none of them win, there's no bet.
All right, what's the bet?
Whatever you want, buddy.
Well, we got to go. You two can figure that out. I love it. But
we'll do a soup and sandwich at your favorite soup and sandwich place. What's it called again?
Oh, Soups and Things.
Soups and Things. There it is.
What a vague, sounds good. What a vague restaurant. By the way, Carlo, I think you're going to win this bet, because earlier in this interview, here is some wisdom from Al's brother.
Kikuchi Poopoopy is what I like to call him.
All right. And on that note, we end this. Goodbye, Al's brother.
Thank See you, AB.
Russell Wilson at 14 to 1. I like those odds. On the other side, we get back to our top two places we would love to do the radio show from in honor of First Up doing it from a big old boat. That is coming up right after traffic. First Up, I'm Matthew Cause, in for Aaron Korolnik. That is Carlo Koliakovo. And we are going to finish off our Rank'em segment, where we are ranking the top places we would like to do the radio show. This was in honor of First Take, doing it from a boat the other day. We did our top three. You could hear those earlier in the 8 o'clock hour. Just check out the podcast. But Carla, what do you got at number two?
So, Matthew, I think number two for me would be in a live casino.
Hmm.
Because really, there is no clock in a casino. There's people there 24 hours. You don't know what time of day it is. It'll probably be busy. People will be screaming different things. Imagine being beside a craps table and somebody hits the button, or they're yelling for a hard four or a hard eight, or you're beside a blackjack table and people are screaming for monkey to hit because they want the dealer to show a 10. I mean, think of all the noise that and the fun that you could have inside a casino, you know, with the people around you.
Yeah, it's great energy getting us near the sports book as well. We don't know when we start.
A horse race, like a Kentucky Derby at the sports book. People just yelling and screaming
at
their horse.
My number two is I want a private jet. But my private jet is going to be Tom Cruise's Challenger 300. Would fit all the crew, all of us up there. We could fly around wherever we want. Tom Cruise would tell us stories about doing Maverick. Hey, do we want to go and see Wimbledon? Fuel up the jet. We can get there. We can go wherever we want. So my number two, and I've seen it. I've looked at it. Full bar, full food. It's got a microwave. My number two is Tom Cruise's Challenger 300.
Rod, I don't know why, but Tom Cruise just creeps me out, man.
Like, Tom Cruise like is the greatest. He is the greatest movie celebrity of our generation. We don't have time to debate that. We'll do that another day. Who's your number two?
YouTube Tiny Tom Cruise, a Family Guy, and Have Some Fun. Uh-huh. My number two, I want to do the show from Doha, Qatar, this coming November and December.
World Cup.
World Cup. Oh, yeah. World Cup, you know, brings fans from all around the world. And we'll have some of the most fun interviews we've ever had with some soccer players. And we'll get to have Cause pronounce some names.
That would be horrible.
From Team Poland.
Team Poland, from Team Egypt, from any team.
I would unite in a divided time. I will unite the whole world against me, where every country equally offended by me. Who you got at number one, Carlo?
You can suck at FIFA.
I don't even remember where that's from.
Take that. You eat that bread, you pigeons.
You can suck at FIFA.
Who do you got at number one, Carlo?
Well, Matt, this is something that I've tried to organize since the time I started doing morning radio, because there's nothing better than doing live remotes where you get to engage with you know, your listeners and the public. If we could find a nice Italian coffee shop that has a hot table where you go in, you set up shop, you do your radio show, you're being served nice espressos as you're doing the show. Every once in a while, they bring you a nice piece of breakfast that they're serving off of the hot table.
Some cannolis,
whatever it be. But think about the Italian sports fan in these coffee shops and some of the stuff that they would love to listen to, or stuff that they would even suggest for us to have conversations about. Because literally, inside an Italian coffee shop is a live radio show, because that's all they do is yell and scream about sports.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to add to yours. You ready? Because mine is Italian as well. It's called Argo. What is it that you asked? Glad you did. Argo is a go-anywhere explorer super yacht with Italian craftsmanship and celebrated design know-how. 48 meters, this boat can go anywhere. And you know where we're going to take it? We're going to take it to the Antarctic. Why? Because we're going to talk about cool streaks, cold streaks. We can talk hockey as well. I've never been to Antarctica. I want to do it from this. I looked it up. This super yacht looks gorgeous, designed to explore anywhere. That's my number one, where I want to do the show from.
Wow.
So that's my number one. What do you got, Arad?
You remind me of Wolf of Wall Street, and since seeing right. that movie, yeah. I don't trust that boats can go anywhere at all.
We got a helicopter.
My
ready.
Number one.
I what do you mean? Prestige worldwide, man. Boats and hoes.
Yeah, exactly. Investor, you.
You.
My number one. I want to do it from the CNE. We'll have our fans there.
Ooh.
Everybody will have to try some of the weird food there.
Hell yeah.
And we'll have a blast doing the show.
Love it.
Wow.
I want the footlong.
In between, we can go play some prize games yes. where you can
yes.
be,
exactly. yes.
you know, try to put the softball inside that wooden basket to Sheep try to ball. Win a big
waffle sure. ice cream at 8 a.m. will be perfect.
Right.
Footlong, right. Kentucky fried chicken or like grilled chicken that is deep fried in frosted flakes is absolutely delicious. We'll go on the Polar Express. We'll have a delightful time. We'll all gain 100 pounds. Love it. Good job, guys. Good job with our rankings of the top five places we would like to do the show from. On the other side, Andrew Peard is going to join us. He's doing the play-by-play for the World Juniors. We get all into all things Canada. We get in all things Connor Bedard, and that's coming up right after traffic.
You can suck at FIFA.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. This is First Up. I'm Matthew Cause in for Aaron Caroli. That's Carlo Colaiacovo. Canada beat Finland 6-3 yesterday. That means Canada finished the preliminary round at the top of Group A, and they will face Switzerland in the quarterfinals on Wednesday. A match game you can listen to right here on TSN 1050, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop. One of the men responsible for calling the World Juniors is Andrew Peard, who's joining us on the line. Andrew, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Before we look ahead, let's look back for a second. And I was talking with Carlo about this. The Connor Bedard goal that made it 3-0, quick release, went high. That looked like something you will see very soon in the NHL. So, Andrew, does every time Connor Bedard score a goal, does that get us closer to teams like the Blackhawks trading everyone to tank? Because I feel like a lot of teams are watching Bedard thinking it's time to start tanking.
Well, you know, if I had a look at some of the scouts on Arizona and Chicago when they saw him break into the offensive zone, and I think everyone in the rink realized that, oh boy, you're giving Connor Bedard way too much room here. All those scouts would have been salivating, and then he lets that shot go. And if you're a team right now that's looking for a guy to come in and maybe change the look of your franchise, Connor Bedard's going to be that guy. It's amazing to see what he's doing at such a young age. He's got such a powerful shot, but it's more than that as well. I mean, his ability to handle the puck and the fact that, you know, at only about 5'9", 180 pounds, he's not shy to go away from the dirty areas. And I think that's something that teams are really liking about his game. And it's a lot of fun to watch him play at this tournament and to see him do what he's doing. You know, we were used to it here in the Western Hockey League. I call games for the Edmonton Oil Kings, and he just, you know, routinely put up 51 goals as a 16-year-old this past year. But now to see him doing it on the international stage, it really just solidifies, I think, what we already knew about Connor, that he's a very special player, and looking forward to see what he does here in the medal round for Canada.
So, Andrew, you said you've watched him a lot. How much better has he gotten throughout the season? I mean, the most we've seen him is we saw what he did at the World Juniors in December when it unfortunately got canceled. But now 7 months later, has there been that much of a difference to his game that has been so significant?
I think there has been. I remember watching him, we saw him very early last year in his 16-year-old year in the Western Hockey League. And I think he ended up with a couple of goals against the Oil Kings, but you kind of left the game going, okay, he's got a good shot. He shoots the puck well. That's all Connor Bedard really does. And now watching him later on into that season and now here at the World Juniors, you see what a catalyst he is and the fact that he's more than willing to be the guy that carries the puck into the zone. And now you're starting to see his vision as well. I think he realizes that he's going to be a guy that's keyed on and that line mates are going to be more open. And I think back to that play, I think it was against Team Slovakia, where him and Mason McTavish worked that give and go. And I mean, that was all Connor Bedard, really kind of just stick handling with the puck up high and sucking the defense in before just lobbing a pass over to McTavish and then finding the soft area of the ice and opening himself up. I think he's just got more of a complete game all of a sudden. And he's getting a little bit stronger as well. I mean, he's you know, only 16 years old, or now he's turned 17 and up to 180 pounds. And a guy that's not going to be the tallest player in the world. He's going to need to have that muscle on him and that strength on him. And that's something he's added to his repertoire as well. So there's still a lot more room for development for Connor Bedard. And that's kind of a scary thing when you think about what he's already doing.
Well, I guess it's unfair to ask this question when you ask, you know, if you had to compare the two, who's actually been better in this tournament, because there is an age gap. But these are the two players right now that have stood out in this tournament because of how much they've dominated on the score sheet. But I'll ask you the question, who's been more impressive? Has it been McTavish or has it been Bedard?
You know what, I think you got to go with Mason McTavish right now, the captain for Team Canada. He's on pace to set a new Canadian World Junior record for points in a tournament. I think he's only five back of Braden Shen and Dale McCourt's record of 18 points. And the fact that he's a real leader out there on this team for Canada. He's in the middle of the ice. He's winning key draws. He's playing in all facets of the game. Yesterday we saw it. Connor Bedard barely got a shift in the third period because Team Canada was shorthanded the whole period. And, you saw plenty of Mason McTavish because he's not afraid to go out there and kill penalties, or the coaching staff at least trusts him with doing that. And for me, when I look at what McTavish has done, it's all magnified by the fact that this is a guy that wanted to be at this tournament when he had all the reason not to come to this tournament. When you look at some of the players that decided not to participate, I mean, no one had a longer season than Mason McTavish. Nobody traveled further than Mason McTavish, going from Anaheim to San Diego, back to Canada to play in the OHL, and then going over to China to play at the Olympics, and then finishing his year in late June in St. John at the Memorial Cup. If there was anyone that deserved a break, it was Mason McTavish, but he said, no, I want the maple leaf on my chest. I want to lead this team, and he's doing exactly that.
He covers and broadcasting the World Juniors. It is Andrew Peard who's joining us. And again, Wednesday, the World Juniors quarterfinal, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop. It's Canada versus Switzerland, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm feeling good about Canada beating Switzerland. But
maybe we should play that Switzerland's coach pregame interview from a couple of years ago.
Oh, he's like, there's no way we're going to win. Oh, they're going to kill us. Everyone, yes. Run. Here comes Canada. That was a great piece of sound. But I'm curious, Andrew. Canada has to work on blank to put themselves in a great position to beat an elite team like the States. What is the one thing you've seen that, like, okay, this is something they probably need to work on?
Discipline. What they did in the third period yesterday, they can't do that if they're going to run into the Swedes or the Americans at some point in this tournament. You cannot spend an entire period in the penalty box, and it's been ill-advised penalties and at times lazy penalties, and maybe that's just because these games have been sort of well in hand for a long period of time and the focus leaves the players. But I think officially yesterday Finland was listed as just going on the power play three times. I think it was actually five times, and there was a five-minute major mixed in there as well. So for Canada, they got to clean that area up, and maybe starting on time as well. I thought they had good starts against both Slovakia and Czechia, but I think back to the tournament opener against Team Latvia, which funnily enough was the game that was in the balance for the longest when they were tied at one with the Latvians halfway through the game. As well as the game yesterday against Finland, I thought Canada was pretty fortuitous to be out of that first period with a 3-1 lead. I thought it was, a fairly even, if not maybe Finland with a few more chances in that first period, but Canada a little bit more opportunistic than the Finns were. So there was a couple areas still, I think, left to work on for this team, but obviously in firm control right now. That was a pretty dominant preliminary round for them, going 4-0, and really those games weren't that close.
Is there... you mentioned Latvia. Has that been one of the best stories, seeing that win and that celebration?
Yeah, 100%. That was pretty cool to watch. I was actually in the building to take that one in live. And for a team that wasn't supposed to be here, they get right in because obviously Russia's disqualified from IIHF events. And talk about making the most of their opportunity. And, you can almost see it coming, though. I thought watching them play against Team Canada, this was a Latvian team that wasn't intimidated, and maybe that's because they felt like they were playing with house money, but it's pretty easy for some of those lower-end countries to come into a World Junior tournament in Canada, play the Canadians, and sort of just let the moment overwhelm them, and that never happened to Team Latvia. And then to see them go out and give Slovakia a heck of a game, they end up losing it in a shootout, but it felt like the effort was there, the compete was there, and the wanting to win was there. and they were able to maybe catch Czechia, you know, maybe not as dialed in, as focused. They kind of knew they were going to the quarters, and they jumped all over them. And it's really cool to see. Obviously, it's their first win ever in the preliminary round at a World Juniors. And I don't know what the number of tournaments they've played in, but it's been a lot, and it's been a long time coming for them. And I'm excited to see what that means for that program moving forward. I think you need sort of these milestone wins to help build up hockey in those smaller countries, and I think this is one they're going to look back on for a long time. And right now, if you're the team that's going to be facing them in the quarterfinals, you better come correct and you better come ready, because the Latvians are here to work and they're here to prove themselves.
Well, now we move into the knockout stage. You know, I don't know what the first week has felt like at this tournament. Obviously, it's felt really weird considering it's in the month of August, but you haven't seen the normal attendance that you would get at this type of tournament. Do you expect the sort of buzz around this tournament to pick up as Canada moves deeper into the medal rounds? And, you know, in getting there, who do you think on the outside is going to be the toughest test for them?
Yeah, I do sense that the buzz is starting to come. You kind of knew it was going to be a slow burn with this tournament, with everything that's been going on with Hockey Canada and the scandal that they're dealing with right now. That's keeping people away from the arena. But as well, I mean, Carlo, I don't know how much time you've ever spent in Edmonton, but we get about 2 months of really solid summer here, and this is part of that 2 months. So fans don't want to be coming into a hockey rink when it's plus 25 degrees, though, when we know in just a few short months it's going to be minus 20. Come the other way. But I think as they get closer and closer to the games meaning a little bit more, and you start to see some of those rivalry games, perhaps against Sweden and the Americans, people, their interest will be piqued, and they'll start coming into the arena. And I thought the attendance for the Canadian games, they got more and more as the tournament or the preliminary round progressed. So I think that's a good sign. And then as far as, you know, who I'm looking at Canada running into, right now it's the Americans. I thought they were the best in Pool B. They finished with the top record. I watched that game they played against Team Sweden, and Team Sweden, they didn't look as interested in that hockey game as the Americans did. I thought Team USA came out and played really hard, and that's what got them out to that 3-0 lead over Sweden. Sweden obviously made it a game late in the third period, but for my money right now, Team USA, they look like a team that's here to defend their gold medal, and you know, they look well on their way. And I think if we can get a Canada USA gold medal game, whether it's in August, whether it's in January, I think you're going to see a pretty hawk-style environment at Rogers Place, and it would be a lot of fun to watch and call.
Hell yeah, Canada versus the States in hockey for the World Junior Supremacy would be fantastic. Andrew, really appreciate you joining the show. Enjoy the rest of the World Juniors, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Absolutely. Andrew Peard, who's calling the World Juniors for TSN 1050. And again, World Juniors quarterfinals game, Canada, Switzerland, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop. Carlo, I went 3-for-3 with my FanDuel best bets. I'm feeling pretty good about what I got set up for you and for the listening audience. And we'll do that in just a moment, right after traffic. Welcome back, everybody. Yes, it is time for today's Best Bets. You are listening to First Up. I'm Matthew Cousin, Fran Korolnik. That's Carlo Koliakovo. Carlo, oh, I went 3-0 last week.
Today, sure did.
Yeah, yesterday.
Last week.
Yeah, yesterday. Well, no, it's the same. Everything I did is stupid. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So, Carlo, you know what we got tonight? We have got a battle of the Cy Young favorites. Justin Verlander and the Houston Astros taking on Dylan Cease of the Chicago White Sox. Verlander, ERA of 1.85, Cease of 1.96. Batters cease to score runs when he's on the mound. Horrible joke by me. Nice. These are the two. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. The only thing lower than my comedy is their ERA and whip. Hey, ooh. Can I get that again? I'm trying again. Anyway, so the bigger point here is bet the under of 7 runs at minus 106. We've almost never seen pitchers with ERAs this low facing off after 20 starts. So take the under of 7 runs, but then let's hit the over. Over Justin Verlander, 6.5 strikeouts at -106. He's done that in 4 of his last 6 starts. And over 6.5 strikeouts for Cease at -138.
Same game parlay is what you're doing, eh?
It's a same game parlay. It's a one game parlay. I mean, I feel like we're the 80s and the early 90s. It's a horse versus a horse. We got a horse battle in Major League Baseball. So excited for tonight's game. And that is my same day, same game parlay. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. That's what I got, Carlo.
I predict another 3-0 night for you, Matthew.
Feeling pretty, because I think these guys, they look at each other like, oh, I'm going to win the Cy Young, their old man. And Verlander's like, dude, the oldest pitcher to win the ERA battle is like 33 years old. Verlander's like 39.
It's amazing what he's doing at his age.
Yeah.
It really is. Coming off of a Tommy John surgery as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely amazing. But something we should give a nice mazel tov to. I'm not sure if we mentioned it on the show yesterday. But friend of the show, NBA, TSN, NBA, Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg and his lovely wife. Got married on Sunday.
They did.
Yes.
And that's why Aaron Karolnik was not in on Monday or Tuesday. I guess it took 2 days to recover from the wedding. But yes, congratulations to Josh Lewenberg.
Did you see the video I just put on the group chat about him doing the hora?
No, I can't. I have a hard time. It's a technical thing.
But, okay, no problem.
But
no
explain
problem.
So basically, to me and the listeners.
Sometime in the middle of his ceremony, he was put into a bed sheet, and there was like 10 to 15 people that were holding the bed sheet up and throwing him up and down into the ceiling. I've only seen it done in the chair, so the bed sheet was pretty cool.
Yeah, the bed sheet, dangerous game. Because what if you've got to have a lot of trust?
People holding it.
You got to have a lot of trust in the corners. You know, because it's one thing to be a pallbearer. No more damage can be done. But you get this or you get the person getting married. Don't shake your head at me for that joke, Chris D'Avero.
They were throwing him up pretty high, though, man.
He's a little guy. You know, you can get some good height with him.
True.
I'd like to ask you, what was your favorite memory from your wedding? But we only got like a minute left in the show, and I imagine that would take a much, much longer.
Well, there was a lot to love about my wedding. It was a party.
Yeah.
It was an absolute party. We did it sort of the untraditional way where, you know, when we introduced me and my wife and the whole wedding party, instead of going directly to your table and starting the night, we immediately went right to the dance floor and had a big, like, 10-15 minute dance party on the dance floor just to loosen everybody up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get into the mood.
This
is going to be a good night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're here to celebrate, have a good time, listen to great music, have some funny speeches, which there was some really funny speeches. And ultimately, I just wanted everybody to leave with a smile on their face. Enjoy the night. Obviously, enjoy the food, because that's the one thing I really spent a lot of time on, making sure that it was top notch. And obviously, the late night snacks was a big hit.
And also, veteran move, keep people on the dance floor, keeps them away from the open bar. Carlo, a pleasure as always. AK is back. I'm back on gameplay tomorrow. I know. Karolnik. That guy. Let's see him go 3-0 with his picks. Well, for producer Chris D'Avero, producer Rod, fantastic work by you guys, intern Josh. I'm Matt Cowes. That's Carlo. And we say ciao.
That's why you come to First Up. It's first class.